Okay, we're calling the meeting to order tonight, and Mr. Dahl's going to lead us in a moment of silence and pledge.
Please stand. Thank you. This flag over here.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, at least it's cool in here, so that's a good thing. Welcome to everyone. It's nice to see a good turnout tonight. We will move into the agenda modifications. Were there any changes or to the agenda this evening? Are things good to go? Then is there a motion to approve the agenda for the evening?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No? Okay, our agenda is approved for this evening. We have time set aside for citizens' comments. Were there any residents of the school district that wish to address the board this evening? Karen, anyone else? If you would come up to the microphone, please, and state your name and where you reside.
Hello, my name is Sharon Elbow, and I live here in New Holland. Okay, I just want to say thank you so much for all what you do for our students. My son is now in the second year of nursing school because your guidance counselors and teachers pushed him into the CTC nursing program. And he's going to LGH now. And I am just so impressed with that program. But what started it was the CTC program. And he has such a wealth of knowledge from that CTC program that helps him now at LGH. So I just have to thank the teachers and you guys who push the teachers to push the CTC. My husband and I have a heating business in New Holland, and every day we have contractors saying, where are the kids? We need workers. They're willing to pay $30, $35 an hour for service techs, and you can't get them. So I know that college is a huge push to a lot of kids, but I appreciate this school for seeing that not every student is going to be a college-bound student, and that the CTC option is an incredible option. And I just thank you for seeing that. And you know, we need workers, we need electricians and plumbers, and you know, who's gonna take care of us someday? We need that. So anyway, I just wanna thank you and continue to look for that in our students as they come, that it's not always a four-year program that's gonna be the best for them. And that, so anyway, I would also like to just close with a word of prayer, if that's okay. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for each one of these members of this board. Father, we thank you for their dedication to our school and to our community. Lord, I just pray that you would just bless them for the time that they are serving to make the best decisions for our students. Lord, we just give them, I just ask that you give them wisdom, Lord, that they can know what is best for the coming year for our kids and for our community. Lord, I pray that you give them just a sense of unity, Lord, that they could be of one mind and make the best decisions. Father, we know that our students and our children are our biggest commodity and our biggest asset. Father, we thank you for those on this board who are willing to take time to see that they succeed, Lord. And I just thank you for them. And I ask a rich blessing on this evening's meeting. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Okay, special presentations. Anything?
We have no special presentations.
Okay. Switching microphones here, I guess we're getting feedback from the tech department and the microphones. All right, we'll move on to then to the consent agenda. Hopefully everyone has gotten a chance to review that. Is there a motion to vote on the consent agenda this evening?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, and then we have some, is there a discussion or any comments?
Just a few comments, Mr. President. For those in the audience, typically we have two board meetings a month. In July, we combine them together So it's a little bit awkward because of the work part of the meeting, the first meeting of the month, is actually taking place simultaneously with the official action meeting. So because of that, to keep the board informed, there are a couple of items in the consent agenda I just want to go over briefly before you take your vote, because we didn't really have that opportunity last week. So I'm just going to go through my list, and I'm assuming Mr. Ramsey and Dr. Larkin also have a few items. One of the items, and I'm just going in order for my information, is in the personnel report, we will be hiring Mrs. Donna Croquet to assist in business office. She will be a director of human resources. And Donna, if I could ask you to stand for a second. We are thrilled to bring Donna to this school district from another not-to-be-named school district in the county. Let me just tell you a little bit about Donna. First of all, I have personally been around Donna on many occasions in workshops at the IU and in other locations, and I've always been impressed with professionalism and her knowledge base, as well as her very personable personality. Donna and I get along really well. And together, both of us are able to keep Mr. Ramsey in somewhat of check. So we're thrilled about the number of things we're getting through Donna. She was a director of human resources at a neighboring school district currently. Prior to that, was a human resources manager in the same school district before being promoted to the director. Additionally, she has experience with Play School Incorporated, which was a Hasbro company years ago, and Hurley Microwave Systems before that. Donna is degreed. She has a master's of business administration, a bachelor of science in management and organization from Eastern Mennonite University. Her master's degree is from Lebanon Valley College. She's also certified as professional human resources from the Society of Human Resources Management. Finally, Donna is affiliated with too many organizations to mention, but there are plenty. She clearly volunteers her time on top of everything else that she does and is connected professionally. So we are thrilled to introduce Donna and thank her for taking the chance on us. I'm sure you'll be a huge asset to our team with the experiences that you bring. Thanks, Donna. And I apologize to all the teachers. I don't know all these new folks, so you won't get that long introduction either, but while I have the floor, let me also thank the teachers who you'll be approving. We have a pretty serious hiring process here. No one just walks through the door and takes a position. There's multiple rounds of interviews with multiple groups of people. So we're thrilled to be bringing you on as well. I know the administrators will be introducing you folks in a minute, but from the superintendent's position, I would like to thank you as well for taking a chance on us, and also tell you that you're joining a really awesome team. We are no longer a really well-kept secret out here in Eastern Lancaster County. Our secrets are getting out, but it's a great place for students and a great place to be a part of the professional culture. So welcome aboard, and again, I know principals will be saying a thing or two in a minute. Continuing on my thesis with the consent agenda, 7.9, you'll see that there is some slight policy changes to policy 916, the volunteers. I had cautioned you that we would have changes. We needed to approve policies by the deadline set forth by the General Assembly, being June 30th, and then they turned around and changed the rules a week later in July. So this reflects the changes of rules that they passed in the General Assembly, changing the timelines for getting clearances, changing some of that information. That's in the policy. As it turned out, we had hit pretty well in terms of the guessing and speculation that we did regarding where our policy was set up. So there wasn't a whole lot of changes, but they are articulated in your documents there. And I believe that's all I have for consent. Yes, that's all I have for consent.
Okay, now I'm really loud here.
Keith or Nadine have anything? There we go.
Right, do we have any questions on anything that Dr. Hollis or touched on? Did you have any others?
Yes, my only action item to see on the consent agenda is the to set the prices, the breakfast and lunch prices for next year. Phyllis, our food service director, has requested that we increase the breakfast prices by 5 cents and also the lunch prices by 10 cents, very similar to what we did last year. I also recommend keeping the milk prices the same. As you know, with the Healthy Kids Act, there is a requirement to continually have an increase so that the students are paying for paid lunches, or free lunches aren't subsidized with paid meals. So this is all part of that. And again, with this increase, we'll still be in the bottom third of the districts and counties.
Are we, do we have a lot of changes with that initiative as far as expense-wise, does it cost any more?
Yeah, there is. I mean, we're fortunate. I know some districts, Mayo Township was one of them, that with their high school has gotten out of the free reduced lunch program. We, talking with Phyllis, you know, we're doing okay. We are probably a break even, maybe about $5,000-$10,000 of loss. But she's continually making changes, revisions. But the meals do cost more because of the food pricing. But for at this point, we're doing okay.
How long was that? Was that in effect the whole past year?
It was in effect since, I think it was 2011.
Have we seen any difference in percentage of students utilizing the lunches versus, or do we track that?
Not for us. We've seen an increase in our free-reduced lunch population. So a lot of those individuals are getting free lunch. So we've seen that change. But from the pay perspective, not really.
Is that everything that you had, Mr.
Paul?
I just wanted to remind everybody that that you're approving curriculum this evening. We talked about that back in June, I think. Did you like the book?
I'm really loving this book, but I'm not quite done. But I have your bookmark, and I will.
I think we can let you keep it.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
But he knows everything that I was reading already, and I'm not sure what that means. What story I try to tell you anyway.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it's causing discussion. Very good. And now we can just take a moment and have the principals introduce the new staff. I appreciate that.
Very good.
Okay. Let's start with Frank.
Yes.
Mr. Sanger.
It's my pleasure tonight to introduce to you Ms. Krista Schick. She will be joining us in our guidance department. She actually had probably the longest interview of anyone I've ever come across. We hired her as a long-term sub last year, and she spent the entire year with us in different positions. So she is a true asset to our guidance department. We had her at the high school twice this past year to serve for Ms. Bose and Ms. Kanemagley. She will actually be taking over for Ms. Bose, who has gone to another district for a supervisory position. So Krista will be joining us this year. We're excited to have her. So.
Excited to be here.
And also in the back, Mr. Matthew Marchini. He will be joining us as a long-term sub for the first semester of the school year for Mr. Barton, who will be going on a sabbatical. Matt's joining us this year. We're happy to have him as part of our social studies department. Thank you.
And I get to introduce two people. Candace Fagan is joining us in kindergarten at Gretna. She is leaving Carroll County, Maryland. She's been teaching there for 4 years. I'll tell you where she graduated from. She graduated from Stevenson University in early childhood and teaching kindergarten. I know that in speaking to the principal there, they're very sad to lose her and spoke very highly of her. So we're really excited that she's joining us. And exciting time that she chose to move back up here because she's getting married in January. So she will not be Fagan in January. So we're glad to have Candace join us. Also joining us at Brecknock is Deb Whistler. She is a graduate of Millersville. She spent last year teaching in second grade as a long-term substitute in Salient Cove and student taught in emotional support, and we're excited to have her join us there. She'll be working
Hupp goes from Duncan area of the school district, where she's been teaching for 17 years. Lisa has a bachelor's degree in elementary education and in music education, and a master's degree in music education. As I said, Lisa was there for 17 years. And when I called for references, everyone spoke about Lisa's enthusiasm or smile. Lisa is, we're happy that she's joining us. She has two children at Newport Elementary as well. Caleb pointed in the fifth grade and Lindsay is second grader. So I think that one of the Lisa's most recent principal before me was hoping that Lisa would be the runner up so that she would stay with us.
I'm thrilled, completely thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
And we have Kelly Williams. Kelly comes to us teaching 11 years in Georgia, Kennesaw.
Kennesaw, Georgia, yep. Kennesaw Elementary.
Lisa has, Kelly has degrees in early childhood education and a master's degree in early childhood. Kelly got rave reviews and the reference calls. Everyone talked about Kelly's leadership, her reflection about her instruction, the engagement she has in the classroom, and Kelly also was the director for the teacher mentoring program in her school, and also did the coordinator for the Relay for Life fundraiser. So we're excited to have Kelly join us as a kindergarten teacher.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
And we have Evan Beebe. Mr. Beebe joined us actually in April, early April, as a sixth grade medium term substitute. He came in at a very challenging time of the year, a week before PSSAs, in a sixth grade classroom, made the connection with the students right away. You could see that that was evident, and the students had a great deal of respect for Evan and Evan for the children. And so all of the references that I got from prior principal and his long-term substitute proved to be absolutely accurate. Evan's got a bachelor's degree in sports management, and then he went to get his master's degree in teaching instruction and curriculum at Drexel, and so Evan is joining us at New Holland Elementary as a fourth grade teacher.
Thank you.
Thank you. As you can see, we're getting a diverse group of teachers, more diverse than we've had in the past, and some with some significant experience, which is giving Mr. Ramsey a little bit of heartburn, but he's recovering. You've got to pay for experience, and we're happy to do that for the quality of folks that we're getting. So congratulations again. Thanks for joining our team.
All right. Any questions on the board? I have a round of applause for new hires. Welcome aboard, and we'll look forward to seeing you around sometime. We have any other comments on the consent agenda? We still have that motion on the table. Okay. In that case, all in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. It has passed for the evening. Let's see. Then I guess, is that everything except reports? Or do we have, what's that? Oh, information items, yes, we do that. I'm trying to get caught up with my... Okay, who's up? Mr. Randy, yes?
I have one information item that I wanted to share this evening. It is an update on the Blue Ball Elementary School parking lot. As we previously discussed, we had a pretty aggressive schedule with the timeline in hopes that we could have something done and completed this fall. Unfortunately, that has not happened. Several things have transpired with the meetings with the township. One thing is that the township does require the county to review all the plans before they take action or review it, so that has delayed it. I know there's been some additional requests for site lighting drawings. They're actually asking us to add some additional lighting on the parking lot itself. In addition, now this time of year with the paving contractors, pretty much they're either scheduled out or booked to do paving this fall. So what we're recommending, you'll see the revised schedule, is that we take this fall to finish everything up, get the construction drawings together to bid, and we go out to bid in January for approval at our March board meeting, and then have the project completed by mid-August of next year. This, in talking with the site engineer, he feels that we'll have a better pricing opportunity, a better bidding market that time versus trying to squeeze something in this year when they're already busy. I know Neil's been talking with Kurt. I know it's not the optimum situation, but I'm sure Kurt, as he always has done, will be able to juggle so that the parking situation isn't too tremendous this year, in hopes that next year it'll be a better situation. So I did want to provide that update, kind of give you reasons why, and also to share the updated project schedule.
All right. Hopefully, I'm hearing maybe oil prices will come down, so maybe we can have a better bidding environment then. Okay. Any other comments or questions on the project at Blue Ball? Management.
Just two pieces from management. One is in the form of an announcement. Just so all know, the Elanco PVCV Chamber Consortium, which meets about five times a year, we're actually hosting this Wednesday. And board members, you're certainly welcome to join us. Breakfast starts at about 7:20. Presentation then wraps up by about 9 o'clock. We've never really taken a turn where we continue to attend those meetings, so I was really proud to bring them in here. We'll be meeting here in this room in the community hall on Wednesday morning. So that's for your information. The other item that management has is a discussion item. I believe President Goder did send you a letter from a parent making an official request. The background on that is this. Students who are homeschooled have by law the ability to participate in any of our extracurricular activities. So they are allowed to participate on our athletic teams. They can do after school activities such as chorus or clubs or any other thing that meets after school. The hitch in this particular case is that band is a credited course that meets during the day, during the school day. And that is not guaranteed by law that homeschool students can participate. This parent is making that request. And I was really interested in where the board felt they wanted to go with this. It's an interesting situation in that you have a student who wants to be a part of the band could do anything else except band, because band is a credited course. So there are a number of different ways to pursue this, and I'm going to share with you those ways, and then I'm just curious as to where the board wants to go with it. We've always traditionally barred the door on homeschool students just buffet-style taking courses here at school, for obvious reasons. We would not be able to manage or understand ahead of time where our enrollments would be. There's a management of the students coming into the building and leaving the building. There's all those pieces, security, et cetera. So it makes sense not to have students coming in and just picking and choosing what classes they want to take. It would be very difficult, particularly at the high school, for Mr. Sanger to manage that, to schedule that. The caveat could be that we make an exception just for this particular class, a band class. We could change our policy. This is policy driven. It's not regulation or state law. Although state law does give you the right to say no to the students for daytime class attendance. We could make a policy change. We could consult with our solicitor, make a policy change, open the door for just this particular class, making it band only, and still continue to be careful about just admitting students for a physics class or a PE class or whatever. Another option would be to remove the daytime music class from accreditation. In other words, no longer provide credit. Students wouldn't have to. Currently, students, if they want to march in the band, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Sumner, if they want to march in the band, they must take this course when it's offered for them to march in the band at the football games, etc. We could make that non-required. We could take away the requirement. That would fix the piece for homeschool students. It would also potentially free up student schedules for those who may not wish to take the band course during the school day because it's a singleton course, hard to schedule. We have to schedule around, I'm speaking for you, Matt, we have to schedule around that singleton course, meaning the other singleton courses that we offer with oftentimes AP. My guess is if you look at the master schedule, the high school, I'm speculating, there are probably no single AP courses backed up against music. And if there are, Matt's getting phone calls because kids are forced to choose then between music and an AP course. So that's sort of all the background. But I'm curious about where the board comes in with or feels about the homeschool students participating, particularly in this case, the parent is requesting that the student be allowed to come to school and participate in the band during the school day. You know, the other side of that, and if the parent was here to argue his case, he would say, I pay my taxes. You know, I pay my fees too, and I'd like to take advantage of this aspect of the school district. So with that introduction, are there thoughts? What I intend to do is listen to what the debate is or the discussion is, and then come back to you with a formal recommendation, perhaps next month.
And I'll start off by, I had several discussions with Mr. Bell, and that's why I asked him to put it in writing, because it's confusing, because we talk about being a band, you know, he said, well, the band camp is during the summer, and the band plays in the evening, and you know, well, that's true. And at first I thought he was talking about just marching band, but then, you know, he was also talking about concert band, you know, and the two, are they separate? And now, you know, do they come in, you know, he wasn't asking her to be put in the class, but then, you know, when they have to do rehearsal, or when they have to do auditions for chairs, you know. So it gets very convoluted when you're mixing, you know, the classroom band and the extracurricular band, because it's co-curricular. So anyways, that's why I ask, and it's, hopefully that clarified it, at least what he's asking for. It doesn't mean that's exactly the way we have to structure it or whether you have to do it at all.
And by the way, we have some time on this. The student's only going into eighth grade. I mean, this parent is planning way ahead. This doesn't affect him or his daughter for another year. You know, the only other option, I hesitate to bring it up, is you could make an exception for this kid. The problem with that is when you start making exceptions, you're going to be making them forever. And I'd rather philosophically come up with where we are and make something to fit where we are, go forward and then have it fixed. Other thoughts?
I'm surprised this hasn't come up before now, actually. And I think in reply, we have to go broader first. I mean, I've always been a huge proponent of music. And, you know, the way that it's structured, athletics just happens after, you know, it's just a different thing. And my immediate thought was, yes, I would love to see the homeschool kids have a chance to participate. And then my secondary thought was, well, what about chorus? You almost can't just say band without looking at the music program in general, because the next thing's gonna be my child wants to sing, and we all know that it is really gratifying and helpful to sing in a larger group as opposed to singing in the shower. So that's my thoughts as they go. And
you haven't heard me sing shower.
I don't think I will.
There you go. I shouldn't introduce that. I'm
sorry.
It's something.
Paul. I just know that our band teachers are very busy, and I just can't see taking on another student with as busy as they are. And I spoke at length with a parent, and with some of the songs that our marching band plays, I can't imagine that this parent would want his child to be in our marching band.
The other thing that that we have to consider is if this, I believe, we would have to consider the drug testing policy as well as part of this. To go in, without the student would have to be subject to that as well, because we currently, for non-credited activities, all of those students are in the pool to be pooled for random drug testing. So it's at first this seems like a slam dunk, let's just do this, but when you start pulling it apart, it's complicated.
I'd be curious, Matt, with from your standpoint, if you having a student or multiple, like we open it for one, you know, coming in during the day for one period, how it would affect, you know, as far as the management standpoint.
From a tracking standpoint, I mean, if it's just one student, it's just one student, it would be that awful bad. For me, this is something a little bit more philosophical. Being an athlete, I never was given credit for playing football or baseball or those sorts of things. So for me, it's more philosophical. But if we're requiring students to participate in a course, but yet they have to participate in that course, and then if they don't participate in that course, they can't be in the marching band, they can't be in the concert band, to me that kind of, what was it, co-curricular, or is it extracurricular? So for me, it's more philosophical. From a management standpoint, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Track and song coming in, we kind of do something very similar for ELL students. From a management standpoint, it's not that, I don't consider it to be that big of a deal, but I think it opens Pandora's box if you make an exception.
Are there, and this is kind of getting off, but are there any students who are in our online academy that participated?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's one of the advantages.
Other advantages of it.
Because when you're part of a LIGO Online, you're a student enrolled in the district, so you reap all the benefits that are associated with that. And, it, you know, if I could, you know, convince this parent to have their child do a LIGO Online, then you know, it wouldn't be an issue at all.
And I asked that question, and I was flatly told no, that will not happen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't know if that would be an option, but do they come in for that class?
Some, and then I have one student who's actually here during the day as it is. So, but yeah, I mean, there's the flexibility for those students to come in for the courses they want. I mean, it's great flexibility.
Well, also, you know, I look up too, you know, we could say, well, what about FFA then? Is someone, you know, part of the FFA? So, yeah, I mean, either do it the whole way or you don't at all. Pick and choose here. Like you said, if you open the door, you don't want to be out. It's just going to create chaos, in my opinion. It's not good enough in the first place for that.
Just so I understand, so you can't be in the band in any fashion if you don't take the credited course.
Right.
Okay, so there are nobody who does it as extracurricular and some who do it as credit. You have to have it. Then I would say that homeschooling who doesn't come to school doesn't qualify for credit.
Say it again, Melissa.
That I would say, well, very much like Tom said, if you don't come to school, if you're not enrolled in school, you can't take a credited course at school in the school district. Which would mean, I'm sorry, but because that's the way band is set up, you don't get to choose band. Chorus is an extracurricular activity? Is that?
No,
that's credit too? Okay. But the other things that are extracurricular activities, they can participate in any fashion?
And that's the case. Presently in the middle school, all of that takes place after school. So our homeschool students are able to participate, which is part of the route. So, oh, I'm sorry, it's 8th period, but it's not credited.
Correct.
So it is during the school day, at the end of the day. It's what seems like a simple thing up on the face value is gotta stop. Any other feedback before I try to make a recommendation?
Maybe I made it clear for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
And I believe through an error, one or two of his other children may have participated in band, through an oversight on our part.
Yes.
And that is...
Just because it was an oversight doesn't make it okay.
And that's adding, because that has happened with this particular family. Yeah, and I'm looking into that. I'm gonna figure out where that...
Well, you know, things happen.
It does happen, but that's a pretty big one.
I know.
We should be able to track who's in our school or not. It's a basic administrative duty. But when the administrator makes that decision, or the decision's made without the administrator knowing, that becomes a different matter. So that is a part of the rub too. This particular gentleman has had two daughters in the van, having never been in the school.
So just for clarity for me, so those two daughters checked in, came in halfway through the day, checked in, went to class, left, and we didn't know it?
That I don't know. No, they were participants. All that I know is they participated in the band. I don't know if they were here during the school day.
Like they would have just come to like band camp and...
Yes, band camp and played on the field.
I think it's... I guess I'm first, I agree. I thought the same thing. Well, it's easy just like, you know. But to me, it's kind of this, our students who are enrolled here who have to take it, because I'm sure there's quite a few who would love to participate in band without having to take the course, because very many of the band students are high achievers and they're taking the AP courses. And you know, so in that regard, it's kind of unfair to them too. So we're not making it any easier for your current board.
So what would happen if we took away the accreditation? And those that were destined that way would still want to take the class, and those that, I mean, maybe that's the answer.
I will get together with Mr. Sanger, and he and I will make a recommendation together.
Excellent.
Not right now. But I have enough information to not win with everybody.
Can I ask one more question just to confuse it, or just to get clarity in my head? So if it wasn't accredited, would the class still happen during the school day? Or would it happen as an extracurricular? And then a follow-up to that would be, there are people that are in band but also in cheerleading or also in, you know, two different things. That would eliminate the ability for them to do that if it wasn't extracurricular, correct?
Well,
if they were only meeting after school, that would put a crimp on.
Unless they met in later in the evening.
Because
GSPA,
right.
People who are in sports and GSPA.
And that's another option. So we'll play through a number of scenarios. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get back to this parent immediately, but we can report that we're studying it, and we'll have something to talk about next month. Okay. Thanks for all your input. Appreciate it.
Okay. More discussion went too long on my computer. I don't have it up here.
We're up to
our Navy. Okay. Dr. Larkin.
Okay. I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Winters to talk about the first two items under the program.
I apologize for my voice. I'm fighting one of these lovely summer colds, so my apologies. Appreciate the opportunity to come back again here in July to talk about some additional new courses. At the time of my presentation in June, due to some new hires and kind of the flux associated with the Ag Department at that point in time, we were still working on finalizing some courses, and they've now been finalized, and so I want to share those with you. There are five additional courses that I did not speak about in June. One is the STEM 9 course. The STEM 9 course is a rotational course. All ninth graders will take it for a quarter. It's being taught out of our tech ed department by our new tech ed teacher, Mr. Steinmacher. And it'll focus on the application of engineering, science, math, and technology to solve complex, open-ended problems in a real-world context. And students will focus on the process of defining and solving a problem, both individually as well as in teams. It's going to be very project-based. They're going to work on building things out of generator kits, building things out of win kits. And the three basic units for the course are on design process, electronics, and green energy and ecological design. And so attached to the agenda this evening is a resource list and also syllabus and some other documents for that particular course. The second course that I'd like to speak about is through our Ag department. That's Introduction to Animal Science, which will cover a range of animal science topics. It'll include small animals, animal nutrition, poultry science, animals in society, animal breeding, and the environmental impacts of animals. Information in this course will be helpful to those students who want to take the vet science course that we currently offer. It would be vet science would kind of be the follow-up to this particular course, or anybody wishing to go into a career that is related to working with animals. A lot of hands-on activities since it's coming out of the Ag department. Students will be encouraged to join FFA. There will be an SAE project that will be part of this course, supervised agricultural experience, that students will do. The course will have six units: animals in society, introduction to small animals, poultry science, animal nutrition, environmental impacts of animals, and animal breeding and selection. The textbook that we'll use for the course is called Animal Science, Biology, and Technology. I did bring it with me this morning. I have it in the back, and you're more than welcome to take a look at it before making your decision next month. The third course is AP Environmental Science, which is a new AP offering. One of the things we've really been working on heavily with the emphasis in the school performance profile is offering more dual enrollment and AP courses for students to be able to take. And so we're really happy to be able to offer AP Environmental Science. The goal of that course is really to provide students with the scientific principles, concepts, and methodologies that are required to understand the interrelationships of the natural world and to identify and analyze environmental problems, both natural and human-made, to evaluate also the risks that are associated with those problems and to examine alternative solutions for resolving and preventing them. The course will have seven units. It'll be taught in a semester. We've really been trying to move in the direction of running all of our AP courses on a semester and getting away from running them as full year. That enables students to be able to take more of them. And those units are earth systems and resources, the living world, population, land and water use, energy resources and consumption, pollution, and global change. So those will be the focal topics for that particular course. They'll be using a textbook, Environmental Science for the AP, a lab manual called Science Lab Notebook, and then a couple of supplemental texts. One's called Our Ecological Footprint, Reducing Human Impact on the Earth. Another one's called A Sand County Almanac with Essays on Conservation from Round River. Again, all of those books I also have here this evening for you to look at as well. The fourth new course is a course called Leadership. One of the things that Ms. Prey is really trying to do with the Ag program right now is really try to build leadership skills in the students that not only are applicable to just FFA, but applicable to real life. And so this course is going to cover a range of leadership topics, from things like personal leadership to group communication skills, really to help students develop their personal leadership skills and how to apply them when working in a group setting. Again, a lot of hands-on activities being offered out of the Ag department, so involvement in FFA will be strongly encouraged. The SAE project will be a part of this course as well. It'll have seven units: leaders and leadership, leadership styles, goal setting, time management, group dynamics, group communication, and conflict resolution. They're going to use the Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens book by Covey, as well as the personal workbook that goes along with that, a book called Strengths-Based Leadership, Great Leaders, Teams, and Why People Follow, and the FISH book, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, which is a way to boost morale and improve results based on the Seattle fish market. And then the fifth new course is called Principles of Science, and I want to put the caveat in to say that even though this is a ninth grade course, the Physics First initiative is not completely going away. I know a question always comes up when we look at science sequencing. People always ask about Physics First. What we have found is that in order to be successful in physics, you have to have a strong math base. And so our eighth graders that are taking Algebra 1, they come into ninth grade and they're ready for physics. They're ready for the math base that they need. And those students will continue to take physics in ninth grade. But our other incoming ninth graders are going to take a course called Principles of Science, which is more of a foundational science course that'll have chemistry components, biology components, physics components, that'll really lay the groundwork for the other science courses that they will take during their career at the high school. It'll include things like basics of measurement, matter, atomic interactions, energy, and ecology. And a lot of hands-on activities in this course, a lot of focus on scientific questioning, really preparing students for those STEM-related topics that they'll focus on later in their career. The course will have 6 units: nature of science, properties of matter, atomic theory and particle interaction, energy, environmental issues, and Earth's cycles. There's no specific textbook for that course. They'll be using some online resources, as well as Logger Pro, which is a graphing tool that our students have on their laptops that we currently have a site license for. The other thing that I wanted to mention this evening, that, which is the second information item that is up there, we have 2 courses currently in our ag program that we've been teaching, Horticulture and Ag Science 2, and there is a new book that we would like to introduce in each of those courses, and so I just want to speak briefly about that. In the Horticulture course, Unit 5 is on plant propagation, and it's a unit that focuses on how plants are propagated in a home, in a greenhouse, on a mass production scale, and students will learn the various techniques of how to do that. And so there's a book, it's called Flower Confidential, it's by Amy Stewart, and it basically gives a snapshot into the flower industry and looks at all of that. And so the teacher would like to use that text with this particular unit. And then in the Ag Science 2 course, the 5th unit in that course is on international agriculture and really looking at how agriculture differs around the world, comparing agricultural methods in developing countries to those in developed countries, looking at different plant commodities, and world hunger will even seep into that particular unit as well. And so there's a text called The Man Who Fed the World by Leon Hesser that they would like to use in that particular unit for that particular course. So all of the books that I've referenced this evening I have here in the back, and so you know, I have them available. You can feel free to speak with me afterwards. I can loan any of them to you, or if you wanna give me a call, send me an email, whatever, I'm happy to answer any questions. I know that's a lot of information, but I wanted to try to keep it condensed for you. Do you have any specific questions for me about any of the new courses or texts?
Looks good.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
Yeah, that STEM course, I think it's great.
I think so too.
So, refocusing the science that we're going to put through that, the effect of it. So. That's it.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
The next item on the list there was the induction program. Over the past 6 months or so, a team has been working on revising and hopefully improving our induction plan. And I guess the new hires here will be able to let us know if it's an improvement here. The first thing, a little bit of background, the first thing we did was we surveyed all of the new teachers for the past 3 years and tried to get some feedback of what their needs were as far as a new person coming to the district, what things would best serve them heading into our district as a new teacher. 3 main things came out of that survey. The first one was classroom management. The second one was lesson planning, and the third one was technology use. So as you take a look at the induction plan, you can see in the first year of the plan, those are the 3 main components during the first year of that induction plan. The other thing that came out of the feedback was the new teachers in the induction plan felt like everything was thrown at them in 1 week, and there was so much to absorb that they didn't really get anything out of it. So what we tried to do was spread out the induction a little bit longer rather than putting it in 1 week, and we also increased it from a 1 year to a 3-year plan so we could have the first year be the nuts and bolts of what all staff in our district need to know, but then years 2 and 3 would be more tailored towards their needs based on what they've done so far in the classroom and what their needs are going forward. So those are the main changes to that. The other thing that as the team worked through, the other need that we found as we finalized the plan is having to map out what does year 2 and year 3 look like for a new teacher, since it's not gonna be a one-size-fits-all plan. How are we going to make sure we differentiate for each teacher so we can hit their needs more rather than just give everyone the same thing as far as training? The other piece is what we found also coming back from the survey of the new teachers is that they felt like they didn't have a lot of time with their mentors. So we looked at some ways that we can build in more time face-to-face with mentors, and also we found that maybe our mentors don't really know what good mentoring is. So one thing going forward that the team needs to work on is coming up with a mentor program to train our mentors on some of the nuts and bolts of what it means to be a mentor for a new teacher. So those were the main changes. The framework is still the same as our old plan, but we revised the layout as far as the compacting or spreading out and not having it all compacted into 1 or 2 weeks, spreading it out and making it a 3-year rather than a 1-year plan. Any questions about that?
Will this be for anybody new here or just?
Yeah, new teachers to the district who have had experience, we can look at them on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
If they've already had some of these components, we'll tailor it to their needs so they're not repeating things that they've already had. But the general orientation to the district as far as like the business office, technology supports that we have will be for everyone.
And when we say teacher, we mean counselors as well.
Correct. Staff, yeah, new teaching, professional staff.
But that will definitely be tailored for Krista. She doesn't necessarily need how to write an LFS lesson plan, though sometimes she may, so she may have a little bit of that.
Keith explains the healthcare and all that.
Correct, stuff. Yeah, that's for everybody.
That's the third in the afternoon from 12 to 3.
36 easy steps.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
And there's one more. I'm sorry, under program, if you could put on that. It's only eventually.
Yeah.
So you just, this is definitely an information item. We are expecting our PSSA scores to come out probably Thursday. And these are PSSA scores that are based on the new assessment this year. We got an email from Secretary Pedro Rivera, and I have a part of that email up here on the board. Wanted to make sure that we remembered that the PA core standards that were adopted in 2013 were expected to be much more rigorous, and that the PSSAs for language arts and math administered this past spring were comprised solely of the more challenging standards. Previously, they had some questions that were aligned to the new standards, but they were not all aligned with the new standards. And now they are. And then that the more rigorous standards have resulted in lower standardized test scores, particularly in math. And as we set, and he also wanted us to remember that this represents a snapshot in time, and it's how this, that they were adopted in 2013, and they set a high bar, and in order to prepare our students for the 21st century skills and lives that they are going to be engaged in. So if you could click on the impact chart. They at the State Department already know what the scores were for everybody. And what they wanted to let us know, and you could just let it in. Is where if we look at this chart, where the percentage of students fell that were proficient, advanced, basic, and below basic. And I asked Mr. Frederick to just be ready to speak a little bit to this, to explain what this means for us as a school district. And I'm not asking for specific numbers, just can you talk a little bit about what this says?
Sure. So if you look at the chart, basically what this is saying, the green and the blue bars are the proficient and advanced bars across going left left to right are the grade levels. So if you add the blue and the green bands, that's the level of proficiency or benchmark that at the state level, looking at all of the state scores that they're expecting at each grade level statewide. So if you add those up in ELA, it's between 50 and 62%, depending on, it varies by grade level, but generally that's the percentage of benchmark and proficient students. How that compares, and I just want to put it out there that we don't know what our scores are, so I don't want to say that we're going to be exactly like this or different, but in past years, we've typically scored 6 to 10% higher than the state scores. So that's just some perspective, not saying that that's going to be the same with the new assessment.
And then if we look at the, if you go up and look at the math,
going back to the email that we just read from Secretary Rivera, the math scores are substantially lower. For example, in grade 8 statewide, 21% were proficient and 8% advanced on the math PSSA.
So what?
About 30% in grade 8. Statewide, like I said, we don't know what our scores are.
One of the things we talked about today with administration is, you know, we need to look at this when we get our scores and we need to see where we stand. We are expecting them to be lower than they've been in the past. We also are going to be looking at where we still stand with everybody around us like we have before. And so we're going to take that into consideration as well when we look at the scores. But we're just letting you know ahead of time that the scores are probably pretty low. Any questions?
I just think that we really need to look at what we're doing with kids, some kids at this point. To have a state assessment where only 30% of the students be considered proficient, or something wrong. Because it's not like our teachers aren't teaching, and especially here. I really question the value and the test in terms of the components and what we're measuring anymore. That's enough for now, but I think we really need to start pushing back on some of the high stakes that we have in just a few subjects, while we're simultaneously ignoring a whole lot of important curricular areas that we're not being held accountable for. You know, in short, I think the test is too hard, quite frankly. And as a superintendent, I don't say that lightly, because I don't mind being held accountable. But you know, if we're all being tested to do brain surgery when we really are just going to go out and do our different occupations, I think we have a problem. I think that's the case. If you look at how these tests are created, they take the best teachers in those disciplines and they ask those folks to make the test. Well, naturally, the best people in their fields are going to want to put everything into the soup, and they're going to consider everything important. Ask a mathematician. Right? No one here will defend the mathematicians, but I know. They're going to want everything in there, and they're going to think everybody needs to know that. And I think if you look at how these tests are created, that is the inherent problem that no one is really acknowledging. And as I said, at the same time, you know, we have a curricular area like social studies that really teaches students all about economy, religion, culture, where the real problems of the planet lie, and we're not, as a school district or as a high school or in any way, shape, or form, being held accountable for what we're teaching students in those subjects. The lessons of World War II, the lessons of the Cold War. We're not being held accountable for that, and we're damned to continue to repeat history in many of those areas if we don't start teaching kids about some of the problem solving and some of the root causes of some of the issues that we have. And I think it's something we need to start taking on with our General Assembly.
Any questions?
School. Look forward to seeing the results. Any other questions or comments on the name of the program committee? A lot of exciting new things this year, so look forward to that. Moving on to reports, I see no meeting for the Lancaster County Tax Collection Group.
Nope, we did not have a meeting this month. Our next meeting is scheduled for September 16th.
Very well. Lancaster Lebanon, IU 13, Ms. Burke.
Our meeting was June 17th. We approved 10.7 million disbursements, 11 new business service contracts, 13 new early childhood and special education service contracts, 9 instructional service contracts, 2 technology service contracts, 1 human resource service contracts. We had 16 resignations, 1 retirement, 4 terminations, 24 new hires, 24 change of positions and salaries, and approved 2 leave of absences. We had election of the board officers for 2015-16 year, and we had a second reading and approval of the 2015-16 meeting calendar. And I also handed out some information that may be of some interest to the board members, and if anyone has any questions of any of our board activities or board actions, I am open for questions at this time.
I don't have any specific questions on IU, but have you, question says something about the coming election for the PSBA. And last year, was there somebody who was served on the IU board that was running for that? Or was that?
And that was, she was elected.
She was elected. Is she still on, or
is she
up for another? Mm-hmm. They don't have any input on this year, I guess.
Not yet, and that normally comes as toward the, when it gets colder.
Okay. When it gets colder.
Yes.
Which
hopefully is September, October.
It probably won't be for a while.
I think that's Wednesday a nice way to put it.
Thanks. Well, we'll look in your direction again, maybe if they have guidance. Okay. Any other questions or comments for the IU 13? All right. Thanks a lot. Serving on that. Lancaster CTC, Mr. Redden, you got a good endorsement earlier from
there. Are wonderful things going on at the CTC. Our meeting was the 25th of June. We had a presentation from the foundation, and UGI presented a check, a contribution for $25,000 to the foundation. The foundation uses this money for a variety of supports to the CTC, and their emphasis for this coming year, 2015-2016 school year, is going to be more emphasis on helping students with individual student needs, things such as books and uniforms, and really supporting students and what they need, and continuing, of course, all the other good projects that they do. UGI presented the check. They had also done that last year. Mainly they support the HVAC program and construction programs. From the CTC, they have hired about 100 employees within the past year. So they are really using community, they like to use the community members to fill their workforce, and that's really what they're looking for. And they're really pleased with the career-building opportunities that there are at the CTC for their needs. So, you know, UGI, United, the Gas Works Orders, you know, has a variety of different, you know, program things they need to hire for. The Taste of Success program netted about $40,000 for the New Choices program. And the Fly on the Run program netted a gain of about $62,000. And that's the foundation, that's the money the foundation uses to support whatever it chooses, how it spreads out its money. It does a lot of the technology, provides a lot of technology financing for the CTC. And a number of months ago, over the winter, I gave you a whole list of how they had fulfilled some grant needs. So that's where those are the main fundraising events that they do, and that's what they do with the funds. They reimburse, you know, they send them out into the CTC to do all kinds of good things. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Great, thank you. Any questions on CTC? Very good. Legislative, Mr. Wenzel, do we have a budget yet?
No budget, and say when it gets cooler, well, there's an old saying that football doesn't get serious until the snow flies. Well, it may be when the snow flies when you get a budget. I hate to say that, but the way things look right now, there's no compromise or meeting in the middle or no talk of that. It's just Governor Wolf vetoed an appropriations bill, a liquor privatization bill, which was probably just thrown out there. They knew he was going to do it, but don't feel anything serious right now. I mean, there's things brought up, but you know, Pennsylvania is one of the highest in the country as far as spending for students. So not all the problems in education in Pennsylvania are on money being spent. It's how we achieve some of these situations. So that's about it as far as the legislative is. It's just who's going to blink, I guess you'd say.
Do they keep in session then if they don't have a budget? Or do they usually have a break in the summer?
They travel around the state for committee. Committees meet around the state and have hearings in different parts of the state. I think they're only called back to Harrisburg if there's something serious to discuss. That's the only way they get called back. If there's something relevant that they can make progress in.
Yeah.
That concludes my report. We'll have better on next one.
Thanks, we'll keep watching for it. All right, any other comments on legislative matters? And we'll move into the superintendent's report.
Just a brief comment, just to say that things are actually busy in the school district. I know when folks drive by, it looks quiet, but inside the buildings, there's a heck of a lot going on, especially things like hiring. But we're also hosting a lot of classes this summer. We have remedial classes, but we also have many special education classes. Again, students from all over this side of the county, from multiple school districts, are coming here to participate in our program. So the buildings are busy, but we're working around students who are here and getting things spruced up and taken care of, and we'll be ready for business here in a couple of weeks. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Very good. And I guess we need executive sessions on
personnel matter. Personnel
matters, okay. So we'll have a brief executive session after the meeting on that. Any other announcements regarding anything else? All right. At that point, then, I would look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Quit. Any other discussion on that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. And thanks everyone for staying, too. That was...